Welcome to Flood Church Lilongwe's Inspiring Sermon Podcast, where faith meets community. Join us on a transformative journey as we explore the Word together. Stay tuned for messages that uplift and empower. Let's dive in.
Jesus, you are holy. You are set apart. You're not like any other. There is no one like you, literally. We thank you, Father, for you are a holy God. But also we thank you, God, for you make us holy. You choose us for purpose. That you have chosen us to be your children. So God, we glorify you today. We honor you, Father. You are our God who is holy. And God, I pray, may you help our hearts to continually say holy, to continue to recognize you as holy, to continually see you as holy, that you are the God who never stops for a moment to be holy. You are a holy God, so be glorified. And I pray, Father, as we enter into your word, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you help us to see your truth. Walk in it. I pray, Father, that you help us to embrace your truth, God. So, Spirit of God, we invite you. Help us to respond to Jesus. Help us to follow Jesus. Help us to live in Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, I want to read us a passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5. We're also going to have the scripture on the screens as well for you to follow. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following his desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. So we're in a sermon series currently entitled Made New, that we're invited to actually embrace our new identity, to embrace our newness in Jesus. So the invitation here is to leave the past in the past so that you can fully, truly embrace your newness in God, because you've been created new. You are a new creation. And the reality is that when you begin to allow God's truth to change you, that's when you begin to experience transformation. That transformation is when you come into contact with God's truth and you begin to allow that truth to do its work in you. And this is why James really encourages that for those that experience transformation are not people that just hear the word of the Lord, but are those that begin to do the word of the Lord. In other words, it's those that are allowing truth to change them. They're the ones that do experience transformation. So the encouragement is, the truth is that you've been made new. Are you willing to walk in that reality? And today, we'll be speaking on the theme, made new because we are made alive. Now, this passage today, I just wanted to remind ourselves of the gospel. The gospel just means the good news of Jesus, what Christ has done for us. I want to just be reminded of that. So I'm not saying anything new, but I want us to be reminded, because I think what I find is that sometimes, or maybe often, we actually don't need new truth. We just need to be reminded of the truth that we already know and begin to walk in it so that we can experience God deeply. And in this passage that we have read today, we will see our old reality, and then we will see our new reality, and also we're going to see our new way of life. We will see our old reality, our new reality, and our new way of life. Let's talk about our old reality. Our old reality is that we were dead. That's our old reality. Our old reality is that we were dead. verses 1 and 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." You were dead in your transgressions. You were dead in your sins. You know, Scripture's position in terms of like how our old life was, it's not to say that we were bad people. You know, Scripture's position on our lives before Christ does not say, oh, you were just people that would do things that would make you feel guilt. Scripture's position is not saying, hey, you were just not good people, that were not doing good things. Actually, Scripture's position on your old life before Jesus is that you were dead. You had no life, no Jesus, no life. You were spiritually dead. And being spiritually dead is not only just about like you disregarded Jesus or disregarded the things of God, but being spiritually dead actually means that you were unable to respond to God. You are unable to respond to the things of God. You are unable to respond to God's invitation because you were spiritually dead. And therefore, you were unable to see spiritual things. You were unable to see God's way. You were completely dead. And this means that the things that we call sins are actually symptoms of our deadness. You know, when you talk about sexual immorality or lies, envy, jealousy, pride, actually, those are just symptoms. You know, it's not, the originality of it is that you are spiritually dead or spiritually disconnected to God. No life in you. And therefore, what comes out of you is pride, envy, jealousy, sexual immorality, all of these things. These are symptoms of the real issue that's there. And this is why when Jesus comes in, he deals with the real issue. He deals with the sin. Jesus comes into the picture. It's not just to make you stop doing the bad things, but to actually, he comes in to deal with the core reality, to deal with your deadness, because we were dead. How dead were we? Verse 3, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath." We were so dead that the only thing we found it easier was to satisfy the cravings of our sinful nature. Whatever my sinful nature needed, I ran to it. I went to it. I wanted to fulfill that. That's how dead I was. That's how dead you were. You were so dead that the thoughts you use to accept were thoughts that will lead you to destruction. That's how dead you were before Jesus. You were dead to the point that what you found easier was to lean more towards offending God rather than pleasing God. That's how dead you were. The old reality is that we were dead, that you were dead in your sins and transgressions. There was no connection with God. That means there was no hope for you. Your old reality is ugly. You had no hope of being found in God's kingdom. And some of you remember, if not most of you, maybe even all of us, to remember that time of our lives when we used to live to just satisfy the cravings of our sinful nature. You know, you look back and you're like, I cannot believe I was that kind of person. I cannot believe I was the type of person who would make those decisions. And at the time, you remember that you were so convinced that what you were doing, there was no wrong in it. It was all good. Like there was nothing wrong with whatever you were doing. And now you're on the other side. Now you are in Christ and you look at your old self and you're like, man, I cannot believe I was living that life. Your old reality is ugly until you encountered Jesus. Then Jesus comes into the picture and changes everything. And this is when now he gives you a new reality. Jesus comes in and gives you your new reality. What's your new reality? Your new reality is that you've been made alive. That's your new reality. You have been made alive. You were dead in your sins, but because of his great love for us, verse 4, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. Even though you were dead in your transgressions, but because of God's great love, a God who is rich in mercy chose to make you alive. God never wanted us to remain lost. Because of his great love for us and his rich mercies, he made us alive in Christ. God never wanted us to still be lost in our shame and in our guilt and in our mistakes. Because of his great love for us and his riches and his mercies, he made us alive with Christ. God never wanted us to still remain hopeless or to still remain condemned. Because of his great love for us, he made us alive with Christ. God never wanted us to keep going and experiencing a life that doesn't have meaning. He never wanted us to remain there. He comes in and he makes us alive with Christ. He says, because of his great love for us, God who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we are dead in transgressions. What that means is that God goes first. Because you are unable to respond to God, God comes to you and he gives you life so that you are able to respond to him. Because you are unable to respond to God, God comes in and resurrects you so that now you could say yes to him. Because of his love, because of his grace, he has made us alive with Christ. What that means is that Jesus gives us life. It is important that you don't only see Jesus as just a good teacher. It is important that you only not just see Jesus as somebody who has good principles for you to follow. It is important that you don't just see Jesus as somebody who has good ideas. You need to start seeing Jesus as a life giver, that Jesus gives you life. That when he comes to you, he brings life. That when you come to God, you are coming to a God who gives you life. When you come to Jesus, you're coming to a God who gives you life. He gives you life. And that leads us to our new way of life. What's our new way of life? Jesus, our old realities that we were dead, our new realities that we've been made alive. Now, because we've been made alive, there is implications to that. And now we got to have a new way of life. We got to live differently because we can no longer go back to our old reality. Now we have a new reality, and that means we also have a new way of life. And Jesus, when he comes into your life, he gives you a new way of life. And one of the things that he does is that he gives you a life full of purpose. Because now, your new way of life is actually attached to the purpose that Jesus gives you. You know, in our way, in our old way of life, or in our old reality, we just lived satisfying the cravings of our sinful nature. We lived a life that had no purpose at all. The old life was a purposeless life. It says all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sin, of our flesh, following its desires and thought. In other words, we were just existing. And any decision that we would make, or most decisions that we would make, would be based on satisfying the cravings of our sinful nature. And Jesus says, no, I don't want you to live like that. I don't want you to just live to exist. I want you to live in a way that will show that you are alive. You've been made alive. So be alive. And choosing to be alive means that you're choosing to live a life that's driven by purpose. Choosing to live a life that's driven by purpose. You're no longer just going by the wind and just saying, oh, this is how I feel, therefore I'm going to go with that. You're no longer just living your life and seeing, what is it that's drawing me to that thing? And you know it's going to destroy you. But now you begin to be like, no, what's the purpose that God is calling me into? In other words, Purpose is just like God's way for you. What is that for you that God is calling you into? And you are like, I'm not just going to go or let my actions be led by whatever I'm feeling, by the cravings that I am having. Your feelings don't give you the right to your actions. They don't. And actually, when you're going to start to live life based on however you're feeling or whatever you want at that time, you're actually living a purposeless life. But a life full of purpose will realize that actually, I'm not just going to go by what I feel. I'm going to go by my purpose, what God is calling me into, what I ought to do in line with the purpose that God is calling me into. And the purpose is like something that pulls you in, that pulls you in, move towards this direction. And when you begin to live a life of purpose, you will realize that a life of purpose, on one end there's freedom, and then on the other end there's limitation. That you're going to be limited to some things, but also you're going to find freedom in God. A life of purpose will sometimes lead you to say no. A life of purpose will sometimes lead you to say yes. A life of purpose will sometimes lead you to say stop, or pause, or move. That's a life of purpose, because for you, you are not just going about life, but you are actually seeing that anything else that moves you away from your purpose is actually an enemy of life. For you, you're like, if it's gonna take me away from living God's way, from living the way God wants me to live, that's actually an enemy of life. Now, it's going to be limiting in some areas of your life. But if you want to win in life, you have to embrace limits. You have to embrace limitation. If you want to win, like, you cannot do every single thing you want to do every single time. No, you have to be willing to say no to some things, and say yes some things, or pause, or stop some things, so that you can win in life. So a life of purpose, you're going to have some limitations, but at the same time, you're going to actually experience the truest freedom you have ever experienced. Because we are more freer when we are tethered. We are more freer when we are connected to Christ than when we are not, than when we just go about life. But Jesus calls you to a life of purpose, so that you can experience true freedom in Christ. This new way of life also invites us to embrace our new identity in Christ, that we have a new identity. In your old way of life, you were known as a child of disobedience. But now, you are a child who is loved by God. Now you are a child who has been shown mercy. And that means there is a newness to you. There's now a new identity. So your new way of life will have to be aligning more with your identity in Jesus. Because the presence of Jesus changes everything. Jesus invites you that you can experience life to the fullest. You were dead in your transgressions. Now you've been made alive. And walk in such a way that you can experience what true life really means. Living life. Abundant life. And every single time you go back to your old reality, you actually forfeit an opportunity to live life to the fullest. To live life to the fullest. The presence of Jesus will change everything for you. You were dead, but now Jesus comes in and Jesus changes everything. And scripture says, God, who is rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Jesus shows up and everything else changes. He shows us mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. Now, when he's saying God, who is rich in mercy, mercy means that God withholds something that you deserve to receive. That is, because we are children of wrath, we deserve to be punished, and God withholds punishment. He says no. In other words, mercy is God saying, I'm not going to use your sin against you. I'm not going to use your sin against you. But the problem is that we use our sin against us, right? Where we condemn ourselves, when we begin to tell ourselves, all I deserve is punishment and no mercy at all. But Jesus comes in. Jesus comes in and says, of course you've messed up and probably you deserve punishment, but I'm not going to use your sin against you. Of course you messed up, but I'm not going to use your sin against you. If you're willing to come into his presence and receive his mercy. Are you willing to receive his mercy? Are you willing to embrace his mercy? Because God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ. The call on your life is that now you would begin to live your life as one who has been shown mercy. That's the call on your life. That now you begin to live your life as one who's been shown mercy. He has shown you mercy. That means you no longer need to live in condemnation. Why are you condemning yourself? Stop condemning yourself, because God, through his mercy, has chosen to make you alive with Christ. He has shown you mercy. You no longer need to be lost in your guilt, in your shame. You no longer to live there. He has chosen to show you mercy. You no longer need to carry the baggage of your mistakes. You no longer need to carry that. Jesus has chosen to show you mercy. You no longer need to be lost in your shame. Jesus has shown you his mercy because he loves you. So leave the past in the past. You've been made new. Now embrace your new identity. Embrace and walk in your newness in Christ. Paul finishes that verse by saying, it is by grace you've been saved. It is by grace you've been saved. Now, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, because grace is unmerited favor. It's a favor you receive from God that you don't work for, a gift you receive from God that you don't work for. That's grace. Salvation is not based on merit, but on what Christ has done for you. Salvation is never based on a great track record. It's based on what Jesus has done for you. It's all dependent on his mercy and all on his grace. But are you willing to embrace it? Because what we do with mercy and what we do with grace is not to work for it, it's just to receive it. It's just to receive it. And for us, we want to work for grace. We want to work for mercy. But God says, no, you don't have to. You just receive it. You just embrace it. You know, and, you know, it happens in our relationships. Let's say it could be your relationship with your spouse or your dad or your mom or siblings. Like, you mess up, right? And they're treating you better than you deserve. You begin to be suspicious. Like, what are they up to, right? It's like, come on, like, you have to be mad at me. Because we, to us, even though it hurts, but it feels better for them to respond in that way. To be mad with us, to condemn us, to make us feel good. It feels better because as human beings, we love to have explanations for our messiness. So it's like, punish me, I deserve it. But that's not how God works. God says, I'm not going to use your sin against you. And I'm not even going to hear explanations about this. You know, reading through the story of the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son, the scriptures say that when the son realized that his life is now messed up and his dad, there's a lot in his father's house, and he makes up his mind, I'm going to return to my father. And he like writes this amazing speech of what I will share with my father. I'll tell my father, you know, that I sin against him and God, and that actually I don't want him to take me in as a son. I want him to take me in as one of his servants. So he goes to the father, and Jesus in this parable explains that when the father saw the son, he ran towards the son and embraces the son. Now when the son was embraced, guess what the son did? He's like, okay, now let me tell you why I am here. I want to explain myself of where I have been. And he starts to share his story. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. Now I want you to just make me as one of your servants. In that parable, the father never responds to the son's story. How the father responds is that he says to the son, actually he calls on people, his servants, come on, go and kill the fattest cow that there is in there. Let's put a robe on him. Let's celebrate him, right? The father never wanted to hear the explanations from the son. You know, because for God, he's not interested in our explanations for why we messed up. What he wants is that we'll come to him and just receive his grace. That we come to him and just embrace his mercy. That we come to him and just say, I'm here, God. And that you could be loved by God. You could be embraced by God. You could sit in his mercy. So the question is, are you willing to receive his mercy and to walk in the mercy that is given you? Just close your eyes for a moment. And there could be some of you now as I've been talking and you're like, man, I've just messed up. I have just so messed up either recently, this past month, this year. It's just been so horrible for me. And you can see your mistakes and you feel of guilt or maybe shame at the moment. I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Your hope is not outside Jesus. It's with Jesus. That you go to him. And when you come to God and confess that sin of yours to God, and that you just open up your heart and say, I want to just receive that. Because you cannot work for his mercy. You cannot work for his grace. You just receive. Just receive it. Just take a moment to pray for yourself. Just take a moment. And now you could be here. You do not have a relationship with Jesus. You have not crossed that line of faith. You don't have any connection with God. And your life is far from God's kingdom. I want to just invite you to consider having a connection with Jesus. Jesus already has his arms wide open to receive you and to welcome you in. He is ready to show you mercy and extend his grace to you. He's ready to forgive you and to embrace you. Are you willing to come to him and lay your life down at his feet? If you're willing to cross the line of faith, I want you to just pray a simple prayer. Just pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you want to cross that line of faith, just pray the simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now, if you have prayed that simple prayer, I want to pray with you. Maybe you can just raise your hand. I want to just pray with you. If you pray that simple prayer, I want to just pray with you. Thank God. Anybody else? Jesus, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, for them. Father, I pray may they experience your mercy. May they experience your grace. May they experience God deeply. May they experience God's power deeply. I pray, Father, may they realize that when they come into your presence, that they are already welcomed in, that Jesus was already for them before they knew it, that Jesus already had life, eternal life prepared for them before they knew it. God, I thank you for them. I thank you, God, for them in the name of Jesus. And we pray for all of us here, God, that we would walk in your truth. And walk in our new reality, in our new way of life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank God.